Welcome, episode 5, Off-Road On Air, with myself, Andrew Byrne, Marley Grubby, and Thomas Freeman. How are we, boys?
Living the dream, mate.
Absolutely winning. This has been an incredible week, incredible month.
So what's new, fellas? Tell me what's been going on.
Well, can I jump in there, Marley? I'll jump in first. I'm very excited. The car literally sitting beside us there is my new plaything, a 1989 Japanese domestic market vehicle that it was imported in 2007. It's technically a Montero, but it's a Padge. So I got rid of the old Padge, got a new Padge, got a new old Padge. I'm pretty excited. It's not on the road yet. It just needs a roadworthy. It's ready to go.
And she's looking good, nice, bright red, shiny, and it's a shorty.
It's a shorty, yep. Diesel, yep. Shorty diesel, which is going to be an incredible little machine out in the tracks, I reckon.
What motor is in that? I don't know. What name's the motor in that?
2.5 turbo diesel. So it's not the popular 2.8s that were in the series 2 and 3 or the... Yeah, go on.
That'd be the same as what came in the same era Tritons, yeah?
One of the main reasons I bought it, yeah, because they're such a common engine that fingers crossed parts are going to be...
54D or something it was called?
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Don't hold me to that, but I had one in a... I had a 94 dual cab Triton and same 2.5 turbo diesel. And I remembered getting parts for it, and it was whatever the numbers were, we'll go with 54D because that's what we've agreed on. But after I got rid of it, I got a new one, a 2011 model, bought brand new, and it still had a 54D in it. They ran the same engine from early 90s to solid 2010s, 2012.
Oh, yeah. That was that's the 2.8 that's in the Padges, the Tritons, and the Delicas.
Yes, yes.
So there is the 2.5. They were in really early cars as well. They're still pretty common in a lot of the Mitsubishis in that era, but not as prevalent as the 2.8. That 2.8 was incredible. That was Mitsubishi's best engine, easily. It's even better than the 4M41, which is in the new Padges.
Yes, nice. Well, you're obviously chuffed with it, mate. Congratulations.
Super duper chuffed. Absolutely. It's good to have three back in the driveway. It makes me feel a little bit more like a man.
And Marley, mate, what do you got going on?
At the moment, not much, man. We do have an event. We've got Ruby up on Facebook Marketplace at the moment, actually.
No! Oh, God.
We're going for sale.
Yep, I've got a new build idea that I'm going for. Don't hold me to it. If I don't get the right money that I want for Ruby, I'm probably not going to sell it. Just because of the sentimental value with this thing, it's taken me all across. It's come with me the whole time through TikTok, and it's done all that sort of stuff. So it'll be really hard. There'll be tears coming out when if it does sell. But I've just got a really good idea for a new build that I want to do, and I think that all of the boys and girls on TikTok will absolutely love it as well. So,
love it. And was Ruby your first car or first four drive?
No, I've had a few cars before Ruby, but it's the first car that I've really had an emotional attachment to, I guess.
Yep, you put time and effort into it.
Yep.
It's your car, mate. Yeah, I get it. It's your car.
It is.
It might not be your first. Yeah.
The car is an extension of your personality, mate.
Exactly.
Which brings me to topics for today. I was going to talk about the one that got away, the car that you, not so much you wish that you never sold, but that car that just lives on whenever someone's talking about a cool car that they used to have, that one that comes straight to mind. Have you boys got something that you wish you never got rid of?
I've got one that absolutely. I didn't get rid of, but... you guys might hate me. It's not a four-wheel drive.
No, cars.
So a few years ago when I was first going to go get my license, back before Tom or this one, JDMs were a real big thing. one of my mate's older brothers overheard that I was looking for a car and I wanted something cool from like Japan. And he hit me up and he said, hey, mate, I've got this Toyota Supra sitting in the back of the house. It's got nice big, like tasteful mods on it, like just a coilover kit, big, nice, expensive rims, all that sort of stuff. He says he's going over to America. He doesn't have time or money for it anymore. He said he'll sell it to me for 12 and a half grand.
Yeah, good.
And had 160,000 Ks on it, completely immaculate. The dude like babied this thing like it was more than a child. And I was so close to buying it. And then my mum said, that's too many Ks for a petrol.
Oh, no. How many Ks are on it?
165,000.
You're joking. You're not even running.
Oh, yet. No. Yeah, that's rough.
And the part that really annoys me is his older brother sent me a photo a few months ago, and it was his car up for sale on like a JDM market sellers for $89,000.
Oh, jeesh. Yes, well, yeah, that's with right. The one that got away. So the one that I think of is an LN106 that I had. But my first car was a HQ panel van. And I sold it for about $7,000 and thought, this guy's crazy. He's paying $7,000 for this rusty old heap of shit. That car now would fetch $50,000. So
easy.
Yep. It's but so the one that got away from me was it was actually an RN, sorry, not an LN. And I think it was a 105, RN 105, 2.4 petrol. That's what it started off as. But then it was my first car that I ever converted the motor to. It got a VN Commodore V6 and the Turbo 700 Auto. And this thing went through hell and high water. And it wasn't my first four-wheel drive. Before that, I had a Space Cab Hilux, but it was an independent front one. And because I kept breaking CVs with the independent front, I went back to the solid axle. And that's where this... the RN106 came. It got the Commodore motor, it got the auto, and it got treated mean I probably had it for 5 years. I used it for work. It was a daily, it was a weekend, go out, flog it around the bush. It had a front and rear winch, and it went everywhere. It gave me so many problems, but it also got me out of so many shit situations. The car in my background is the first GQ that I bought. It was the one that had to go to make room for the GQ. So I kicked myself. I wish if I had room, if I could have kept it. It was something special, but that was the one I let go that always, comes back to mind all the time.
That sounds incredible. Like, what were you pushing, like torque and horsepower in something like that?
Well, see, I've never torqued and horsepowered. I'm not a dyno spreadsheet kind of guy. I'm not a big wheel power. I'm not a burnout sort of man. Put your money where your mouth is. If you reckon your car's better than mine, let's go for a drive and see who gets further. I don't care if you've got a piece of paper that says you've got 800 rear wheel kilowatts or whatever, however we want to measure it. And I have a lot of friends with these very high horsepower cars, we go for a drive and they break something straight away. As soon as we get started, something snapped. Oh, I got to get a tow truck. This is broken. What's the purpose of chasing these huge numbers when you can't use it? Yeah. And I blew up four or five motors in it. And I would go and buy a complete VN Commodore, take the motor out, stick a new motor in. I'd sell what was a VN Commodore
and make money on it. My life, pretty much. And make money on stripping out the VN.
Yeah, and now, like as we said earlier about cars that were worth nothing that are now worth a fortune, like I sold so many VN Commodores for scrap value that are now a $10,000-$15,000 car.
is that where your your scrap expertise came from, like doing all that very early on?
That's probably where it started, but the wrecking and parting out cars was really a necessity for racing, As I stated, where's my finger? If I've got a finger here, the shorty in the background. So this is the start of it. I lost a wheel out in the high country. That's what this one's from. So after I lost this wheel, I needed need a new bull bar, need a new quarter, headlight, bonnet, all that sorts of stuff. To go to a wrecker and buy them parts was going to cost you $1,000. You could buy a complete car for $500. So I just started buying complete cars and taking the parts that I needed and then selling what was left over. And that is now why my backyard looks like a wrecking yard.
My incredible. Missus would kill me if our house looked like that. She says, no more cars.
My missus often has a lot to say about that. And the funny thing is I'll tidy one up. Like I might make one good car out of like two or three. Yeah, it might be a runner with smashed in panels or vice versa. It's a good body with no motor. So I have all these cars and I put one together and I say to her, oh, look, I've got someone who wants to come and buy this car. And she goes, oh, thank God, you're finally going to get rid of one. And as soon as it sells, I've already got another one or two lined up that come and take its place. And she absolutely hates me every time without fail. One goes and just makes room for another one, yep.
Yeah,
it's your passion, and I reckon she loves you for your passion. So it's just a package deal, isn't it?
it is a package deal. Yep, it is. Yes. I don't know. We got time for story time. On our first date, I was in the middle of this was the second Hilux that I had. So it was another LN106. This one had a 308 in it. It was a single cab.
Yeah, standard for the day.
So I'd rebuilt the motor and I just got the heads back and we'd met. There was our first date. We'd gone out for a date and I couldn't wait to get home and finish putting my motor together because the motor was going in the next day and she wanted to come back to my place. I said, oh, no worries, you can come back to my place. And she said, so what do you do with your spare time? I said, well, come out in the shed. I'll show you what I do. So we went out in the shed and I had it all there. We got the heads, put the head gaskets on and had new head studs. And I set the torque wrench for it and we went around torquing the heads. And we put the heads on this motor and we went around torquing the heads. So this was our very first date. She come home to my place and that's what we did. So now when she ever complains about the time and money that I spend on cars, I say to her, I showed you the first time you ever come home. I showed you exactly what you were getting in for and you signed up for it. So don't ever complain that I spend all my time out in the shed. You knew exactly what was going on.
That's beautiful. Exactly. What a love story.
It is.
Incredible.
Yeah, made in heaven, yeah.
Incredible. Well, speaking of love stories as well, so my first car is the one I'll use. Like we've got the recently. Everyone knows I sold the Pajero, but the Commodore was one. It was a, what was it, a 2002 or 2003, can't remember. It was taken from me. My brother wrote it off. It was one of those, should have let him borrow it that one day.
Yeah. One. Never let him live it down.
Absolutely not, no. It was a horrible dark blue that showed dirt 30 seconds after washing it. And it was just the beast. I just, whatever I did to it, it just kept on handling it as well. I did so much, thousands of dollars worth of damage. And every time mum and dad looked at me and like, this is definitely the write-off. Nah, put it back on the road. Absolutely. Every time it broke a door off at one point. That's a funny story. Ran up a gutter once and just destroyed the entire upper control arms on one side. I did it all with the love of my life. And she's gone to the car heaven, unfortunately. But yeah, I've also got the Padge. Yeah, I've also got the Padge. I was super sad to see that go. It was either the Hilux had to go or the Pajero. And well, Hilux was my dad's old car. I bought it off my dad. The sentimental value attached to that, plus the financial value of the Padge that I could get straight away. It was the Padge. That's what went, and that's why I had to fill that little bit of my heart. And that's why I've got the other one. Got the old one. So yeah, it gets best of both worlds in everything as well too. Trying to make things work as well too. Trying to live in the real world as well too. I want to get some renos done, so now I can.
That's it. We've all got bills to pay, mate. So, yeah, you can't. I mean, it's nice to go out and buy a brand new car and have shiny things, but we've got bills to pay. I've got kids to feed, so.
Matt, that's it. Bills to pay, mouth to feed, roof to put over our heads. That's it.
Exactly, yep.
Exactly. My stupid animals cost me more money a week than I eat.
What do you got with that?
Stupid food.
Pardon? You've got another dog, don't you, Marley?
Yeah, I got another sausage dog. I got another little sausage dog. He's like a brown and tan one. His name's Snickers.
Snickers the sausage dog. Nice.
Yep. Because he looks like a little Snickers when you unwrap him. Like that chocolate sort of brown. He's real cool. He's awesome. He likes me more than the missus and she hates it.
That's gold. That is gold.
Yep. So now we've got Kevin, Franklin and Snickers.
Oh, you've got actually three. I thought you only had two. That's so you've got three sausage dogs.
Kevin's the cat. He's the king of the castle. And then we got Franklin and Snickers, who are the two sausage dogs. The Wiener brothers.
That was good. That was real good. So, Marley, tell me more about the heartache that you're going through and the decision that you went to press post on the Facebook ad. Talk us through that.
Well, the missus is a bit with older cars. They're a bit more temperamental, as you know. So sometimes they've got a few things wrong with them, but we still love them no matter what. We'll one day fix them, all that sort of stuff. But sometimes we won't. Like, Ruby's not completely buggered, but she's got, like, the paint fade, as you know, and, like, all that sort of stuff. And I just thought, by the time I spend all the money to fix up that, I could have sold Ruby and bought a really nice car and done that up really well. And then, but, yeah, so, and then the missus is saying that she wants a nicer car for her to drive around because she's scared to drive the 80 series, she reckons, because of how big and loud and lumpy it is and cops pull me over all the time for it. So, I almost said what I was about to buy. No, it's a cruiser. Ooh. It's a Land Cruiser, but...
Keep it secret. You're keeping the new build a secret.
Yeah. Secret.
That's it.
No, it's going to be good. Tom, you guys already know, so...
Yeah, we know, but we'll keep it secret, mate. Wait for the big reveal.
As long as it's a Toyota, you're all good, mate. As long as it's a Toyota.
Well, I was thinking about going Nissan, like a nice Series 4 Patrol, but people want close to 30 grand for a nice one. For a secondhand one. They want 25 to 30.
They've jumped in price massively.
A 3 liter or a 48. Yeah, try get a TD. They want 50, 55.
Yep, that was for a 3 liter with 400,000 Ks on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's straight away you're yoinking that out and putting something else in, aren't you?
Yep, Barra.
Well, I've got a couple of mates that have just done the BMW M, is it a 57 or 53? I think it's M57. The BMW M57 into a Patrol is a magnificent option, mate. If you've got a 3 liter that has kicked the bucket, because if you wreck a BMW, you don't bother fixing it. You got the money to buy a BMW. You just go out and chances are your wife's driving because they come from an X5. So if you wreck an X5, you just go buy a new one. So all these X5s are sitting at the wreckers. And if you've got an X5 and the motor shits itself, you're not the kind of guy that goes to get a new motor. It's not a fucking Falcon or a Commodore.
Yeah.
So these motors are relatively cheap and they put out buku power, and there's a few conversions, bell housings and adapters now coming out that you can slot one of these straight into a Patrol, mate. And they are, like you were talking before about your rear wheel horses, we're talking your 350, 400.
Yep.
Are they the V8 diesels? Straight six diesel.
Yep.
Straight six
diesel.
That's incredible. That's awesome. So it's just presented with a problem and a solution, and they just come together.
match.
And it's just a cool build.
Yep, it's a match made in heaven. Yep.
Don't see very many Euro patrols running around.
No, well, there is. If you use YouTube, anyone watching, your YouTube M57 patrol, you'll find a couple of videos of them, and they're a mean bit of kit. It's I can guarantee we're going to see a lot more of them in the future.
Mm.
Yeah, it's an option. Like the patrols, like the 62 and the GQ are just, or sorry, the 61 and the GQ are just really decent platforms to just plonk an engine in. It doesn't matter what, and the diff and the diffs just handle it. It's just ridiculous.
They are a solid running gear is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
None of that Toyota stuff.
Yeah.
Do we have any more? Yeah, go on.
I was going to say that the Toyota diffs aren't really up to the challenge when you start slapping big power in. So I know a lot of blokes that have got either the Utes, are they a 75, the Utes?
The older ones, yeah.
Yeah, so 70 series, 75 series, and they've all been converted to patrol running gear.
Yeah, pure. That's what my dad's doing at the moment.
Yeah, they're bigger, they take the hiding. But unfortunately, all that gear, they don't make it anymore, and now it's starting to get scarce.
Mm.
It is getting hard to find a set of good patrol diffs to go and throw underneath your cruiser.
Yep. My dad's just went out and bought a set of, I think the front ones are all right, but the rear one's completely stuffed. So he's going to have to buy a new diff center and everything. And just for all that, he's for a completely stripped set of diffs, he's paid $1,200 to go underneath his Land Rover.
Yep. And this is patrol diffs, is it?
Yep. Because there's so many more patrol diffs around than there is Land Rovers. So he thought, while you're out full driving to something breaks, at least there's another GQ around or something like that.
Well, yeah, there used to be, but not so much anymore. Maybe up in Queensland you might have, but down in Victoria, the race scene has swallowed up all of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're becoming hard to find. So we're now moving to American import. Dana 44s and Dana 60s.
Oh, wow.
And they're much bigger, so that takes away from your ground clearance. Your diff pump is now dragging on the ground, where a bloke with patrol diff will drive through, you come through with Danas, and you're getting hung up on things that the last bloke was clear of.
Yep. Now, we've seen a big influx of all the American import cars up here as well. I've been seeing them everywhere.
Yes, but the new, the Dodge Rams and that as a tow vehicle?
Yeah, all the Dodge Rams, the F1, I think they're F-150 or an F-250. We've been seeing a lot more of the Toyota, are they a
Tundra?
Titan or something? Yeah, Tundra.
Yep.
And then there's another one, I forgot what it's called, but I've just been Prados, seeing them everywhere.
Prados?
Well, the big Chevys as well too, they're everywhere. Like the Chevys and the Rams are the ones I see the most.
Yeah, no, they're bloody everywhere up here, especially in the line of work that I do, going to different construction sites every day. You just see a bunch of them, and they're always like old grumpy blokes.
Old grumpy blokes have got money, mate.
Yeah, mate. All the concreters and bricklayers.
There's a reason they're old and grumpy.
Yeah, because they're paying expensive bills on their cars.
Imagine the fuel bill to run and thing.
Yeah. Well, I saw one dude towing around a 2.5-ton excavator on the back of his F-150. So I'd hate to see that fuel bill every week.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
And sometimes they're buying them because that's the only thing that can tow the 2.5-ton. Because anything, like when you're pushing 4.5-ton and towing that, there's only the Yank trucks that can do that. There's nothing really that you can buy.
He's got the towing capacity. Whereas you get a cruiser, you've got to do a GVM upgrade just to tow your caravan.
Yep. GVM and GCM. Yeah. And you're still not getting the rideability from these big utes either. Like these big utes are just
big,
luxury models. Luxury models, yeah.
You do a big GVM, GCM upgrade, you stiffen the shit out of the car, you go try use it off-road, it doesn't flex, it doesn't move like it's supposed to because you've got it so solid to cart that weight round.
Mm. Yeah, I saw a video about them comparing the 79s to all of the American Yang Tank ones with like all the stuff that they do over here in Australia. I haven't finished watching it, but it's pretty interesting. Like the comparison between an $85,000 79 cruiser and a $200,000 F-250 or a Ram. And then you just see like the differences in price and fuel and what you can tow and what you can't. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess the
cruiser.
That off-road capability of one of them big Yank tanks, I imagine, isn't going to be that great.
Mm. Plenty of power to get you up there, though.
What was that?
It wouldn't be good for the tight tracks and everything. Yeah.
They're pretty wide. Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Yeah, they're really wide. They're really long. I mean, they bottom out super easy over, like, whoopie-doos. So, yep. Like, they're probably not the best choice for the high country. Definitely not.
No.
They'd be brilliant for doing anything really in WA because you just need to just power. Do K's, constant power. K's. Yeah.
We use, it's an old F-150, single cab F-150. We use that to tow the race car because it's got the big towing capacity.
Mm.
And there's been a couple of times race car shit itself, we're out of the event. So we use the F-y to run around and watch the rest of the event. And it is not really enjoyable to be in because this is a leaf sprung front and rear 4-ton car. And it's not made for doing what we do. Like your little Pajero in the background, that is the equivalent of a Suzuki Sierra compared to this F truck.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. And that basically concludes everything. I mean, we've got about 5 minutes left on the video. Andy, do you want to jump in with anything to sign off, then Marley?
We're going to sign off. I'm going to say anyone that's gotten this far, get on board and go have a look at the Ultimate 4x4 Challenge. It's an upcoming race that I've got going on. It is, in my opinion, the toughest race in Australia. We're talking a week. You need to carry everything, food, water, sleeping equipment, spare parts, anything you need, you've got to have it. But you also need to push the car to its absolute limit to try and beat the other boys. So, if you wanna see some real four-wheel drive stuff, get on board, have a look at that. And I'll say a big thanks to All Access Off Road. They're the ones that pay my way through racing. Shout out to 4x4 ORC. They keep the car running. And Smitty's Outback Gear. They're the home of Ironman in Pakenham. They give us a great chop out. So that's all I've got, you boys.
Marley, jump in.
Yeah, cool. Are you going to be filming much of that at all? Or?
I'm going to try and film as much as possible, mate, but it's so hard to film and race.
Going on.
Yeah, like if we break something, we're going to be flat out trying to fix it. And as much as I'm like, oh, fuck, I so should be filming this. This is great content. I need to get the car going again so we can get back in the race. So I'm going to try. I'm going to put in 110% to film as much as possible, mate. And hopefully I get some good shit and we'll get it out there.
Awesome.
When is it, Andy?
We got less than 20 days and we only just put the motor back in the car.
Yeah, okay. Yep. So it's the end of September?
Yep.
Yeah, cool. Cool. I'll chat to you further about that one as well too. Marley.
Just give me a follow on @MarleyGrubby on TikTok, @MarleyGrubby2 on Instagram, @MarleyGrubby2 on Snapchat if you really want. It's just videos of me at work. I'm also doing the Mullets for Men's Mental Health campaign this September. So if you want to send any money or donations in, it's in my bio on Instagram and TikTok. I'm trying to raise $5,000.
Give us a flick. It's looking good. Give us a flick. It's looking good. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Looks good with the beard as well. Love it. But trying to raise about $5,000 for that, just for mental health for men, because we all struggle with that sort of stuff. I've got about $250 now so far, but I reckon with my following, we should at least be getting almost that $5,000 mark. So
good job, mate.
That's about it. That's about it for me, guys. What about you, Tom?
Well, me, it's obviously YouTube and TikTok. I mean, that's basically my biggest platform, but I'm also on Facebook and Insta. With Food Wheel Driving as well too. Obviously, we've got this podcast as well, and the Aussie 4x4 Facebook group as well. That's starting to really kick off in some numbers as well too. So some big stuff going on in my YouTube world, with especially with buying the new car as well too. I'm going to try and do not build video, just trying to vlog me trying to, on one, get this car on the road, and me just actually just enjoying this car. So there may not be always about the build itself. It might be just me. Well, at the moment, the first one is just showing you around the car, and the second one is me trying to just swapping some stuff that I can, just little stuff, like getting the wiring that I want sorted. Yeah.
You're going to have to learn to drive again, mate, because driving a short wheelbase is a lot different than driving a longy.
Yeah. It, just from the trip from Melbourne back home, that was an experience. I need to get some bigger tires on it. I think it's running 29s or 28s on it, and it's just too high in the rev range when you're up at 80 or 90 k's an hour. So maybe a set of 31s or 32s might be a little bit
if gears better. You go, that's it, the ball rolls on once you start. Every modification adds to two more.
Yeah, absolutely. So I definitely know I need new suspension just to get it through roadworthy. So new suspension for roadworthy, and pretty much all the bushes need to be replaced. And once that, it'll ride a lot better. And obviously putting 31s or 32s on it will just make it that little bit higher. Just to get around the high country will be absolutely meh. Cannot wait. I'm so excited. That's it. So, yeah, that's basically it. Obviously, the Off-Road On Air podcast, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify. They're the two big major ones. I'm getting it out to all of the podcast sphere, obviously here on YouTube as well too. If you can't find us, there's the link tree down below that has all the little links to the little webs that you can get to, so you can find the podcast on any platform you want. And we'll also have all our links down below as well too. So, yeah, thank you very much, boys. We'll see you in the next one.
Awesome. Too take
easy.
It
easy. See you guys. Have a good rest of your night.
Hey, mate.
Peace out. That's it.